Hi, I'm Sophie, and this is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter, a space where, together with my producer Fee, I talk to good friends and trusted experts on how they age well, whether it's their latest supplement stack, what's on their bathroom shelf, or a new biohacking device that really seems to work. Because for me, aging well is all about looking and feeling like the best possible version of ourselves, both inside as well as out. Remember, you can also find even more ideas and expert tips on my social channels at Dr. Sophie Schotter. I'd love you to come and join me over there too. So this is my show. Welcome along. As always, thank you so much for listening. And this week, we're in conversation with Claire Sanderson. Claire, welcome to Age Well. You and I know each other really well, but I know that amongst other things, you're editor-in-chief of Men's Health as well as Women's Health. I don't know how you fitted the extra workload in, but if I can hone in on the latter for a moment, because Women's Health is one of those magazines that I think has really moved with the times. I love the focus on strength and wellness and that it's not a beach body type of core messaging. I do also know how important it's been for you that the magazine talks about health and wellness from all angles, including mental health. But I wondered if you could talk to us about your personal journey in terms of aging well. What have you learned over the years and what habits have stuck? What do you know now that you wish you knew several years ago?
Hello, Sophie. Thank you for having me on Age Well today. It's a privilege. And as you say, we do know each other very well and we've known each other for quite a few years now. I'm finally a guest of yours. I'm thrilled. Well, yes, so I oversee Men's Health and Women's Health, which is a huge challenge and a huge privilege because they're both the leading publications in their fields in the UK. The Men's is the biggest men's lifestyle market and Women's is the biggest health and lifestyle magazine. And it's such a joy to edit Women's Health because I am obsessed with wellness. I always have been and hopefully always will be. And I've always exercised and tried to eat well. But my journey has definitely evolved over the years. And I was guilty in my 20s, which I'm now in my mid to late 40s and 47 and very shortly. I was guilty in my 20s of training and exercising to be smaller, to burn calories and to lose weight. It was very much the height of diet culture and certain diet schemes that encourage you to eat breakfast cereal all day and shakes and all that type of thing. So my relationship with health and fitness has evolved enormously. And I actually think joining Women's Health was quite a pivotal moment because when I joined the brand, which was 8.5 years ago, it still was a little bit rooted in that bikini body messaging. And I quickly realised that women's relationships with bodies was changing and it's such a nuanced, loaded relationship that we have. And we pivoted the messaging to talking about strength and performance and feeling amazing, not just looking amazing. So what I started to do when I joined Women's Health was lifting weights, and now it is my go-to. I think it is the panacea of longevity. I think as women, the more physically strong we are mentally strong. And there's also an abundance of health benefits, especially as I'm very firmly in the perimenopause and at risk of things like osteoporosis, etc. And my muscle mass is deteriorating. So I'm doing everything I can to ward that off and maintain my muscle mass. But I also definitely train for my mental health. And this is a messaging that comes through loud and clear on Women's and Men's Health, that mental health is given parity of esteem to nutrition and fitness, because I believe they're so interlinked. And for me, I have a history of quite serious of depression. In my 20s, I was hospitalized with depression. And I haven't been that seriously depressed for many years. And I attribute that to the fact that I now train and eat and look after my sleep. I do everything to ensure that my mental health is as optimal as it possibly can be.
Hello, Claire. Gosh, this is so interesting talking to you. And I think we both really want to get into the mental health piece of it. With exercise, you've preempted what I was going to ask you, which is clearly exercise is a huge part of your life. You've mentioned weights. Would you mind unpacking exactly what you do as part of your daily routine with a bit more detail? is it just weights? I mean, as you say, that's the thing, isn't it, for us women, 40s and 50s and above. But what else do you do, if anything? And what is your actual routine?
So I don't do very much high intensity exercise at all. I used to be a HIIT devotee, you know, high intensity interval training. And I actually I was very lucky to be invited to a clinic in Austria called Viva Maya. And they did a lot of testing on me. There were sports scientists there that did actual scientific tests on me, which found that my cortisol and lactic acid levels were through the roof. And it's a toxicity in your body and can ultimately lead to chronic disease, but also in the more immediacy lead to fatigue and low mood, etc. So I knocked high intensity interval training on the head almost overnight. And now I concentrate on 3 or 4 strength sessions a week. And at least one of those is heavy lifting, because there's a place for lifting lower weights, higher reps to fatigue, absolutely. But most fitness experts will say to really build muscle, you need to do lower reps and lift heavier weights. So at least 1 or 2 of those sessions will be in a gym with a squat rack, doing hip thrusts or deadlifts or back squats, etc., with a barbell and really quite heavy weights. And over the years, I've managed to increase my strength that I can deadlift more than what I weigh. I can hip thrust 1.5 times what I weigh. But that strength that I've built up over the years. But then, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, I'm extraordinarily busy and I have 2 children. So I have to be realistic about what I can manage. So my other 2 or 3 strength sessions are at home, because over COVID, I built up a bit of a home gym setup, really to preserve my sanity, because I was so used to going to the gym and then suddenly I couldn't. But I've got lots of dumbbells at home. So I'll just do online workout classes, which is what I did this morning, lifting fairly heavy weights, but not the type of heavy weights that you can in the gym. And then on top of that, I try to walk everywhere. So I get off at Waterloo, I'll walk 25 minutes to my office. I'll do the same at the end of the day. If I'm going to see Sophie up on Harley Street, I'll walk from my office up to see Sophie. I really try and avoid the tube. I just try and increase my LISS training, low intensity steady state training, which is basically the movement that you're doing when you're not actually working out in a gym. And then finally, I have a Peloton bike. I love my Peloton bike, and I'll do 1 or 2 15, maximum 20 minute sessions on my Peloton bike a week, just to keep my cardiovascular health ticking over. It seems quite a lot, I know, but it's not a huge amount of time when you really think about it. And I do manage to fit it into my very busy routine.
Yeah. And it's a couple of things. First of all, with you saying that you walk and don't use the tube, that's great for mental health as well, because I was reading that Matt Haig was saying that anything with artificial lighting is really not great for mental health. And also not doing HIIT training, the cortisol thing. Sophie and I did an episode in at-home health test kits, and I had a very similar result to you in the sense of quite adrenalized, cortisol quite high. So actually things like cold water plunging and HIIT, not good for me. Yeah, really interesting. Thank you.
Obviously, good personal trainers are an amazing investment for many people, but for those who are a bit more budget conscious and who may not have the budget for a personal trainer, who are the YouTubers you'd really recommend, especially for women 40 plus who want to get started with strength training and have no idea where to begin?
So you're right. A good personal trainer is worth their weight in gold. And when
I love mine.
Yes, absolutely. And I've worked with trainers over the years. I don't at the moment. But what a trainer gave me was that base level knowledge and the confidence to go into the weights area of a gym, because it's quite an intimidating environment, even for me. And I've lifted weights for years. And I still sometimes, you know, when you have those days when you're not feeling your best and, you know, you're maybe a bit self-conscious about what you look like, maybe have been on holidays and you've come back feeling a bit worse about yourself, walking into a weights area of a gym can be quite intimidating. And where a good personal trainer comes in, it's they give you that base level knowledge. And I would say to anyone, if you can afford it, and it's a big if, because I understand that for many people it's not a possibility, even 3 or 4 sessions with a trainer, so you can learn the fundamentals, like how to hinge, how to deadlift properly, how to squat properly, because form is everything. That said, not everyone can afford it, as I said. So I'm obviously going to recommend Women's and Men's Health here, because if you were to go on our YouTube channels, there's lots of videos on there, instructional videos, the same as if you were to become a member of both of the brands, or go on our website, you'll find a lot of instructions on there. In terms of people who I follow online, I'm inspired by the older women. I think older, we're so badass women these days. There's trainers online in their 50s and 60s who look amazing. They're so strong and so powerful. There's a lady called Her Garden Gym, which I think she's in her 60s and looks incredible. Kate Roham, who we work with at Women's Health, I really rate. There's an amazing lady called Trained with Joan. I don't know if you're familiar with her, and she's in her 70s and completely overhauled her health in her 60s and now has biceps and glutes and amazing quads, etc. So I just love these older women because they're so inspirational. And if I think of my perception of women that age when I was growing up, when I looked at maybe my grandmother at the time or my mother, they seemed really old before their time compared to how amazing women are now. We're aging so gracefully and beautifully, and I'm here for it.
That's, again, really inspiring. And we're going to put the names of those YouTubers on the show notes as well. Thank you for that. So this podcast is all about very practical, tangible tips. Can you name check any products and brands in terms of kit, whether that's stuff to wear or stuff to exercise with? What do you rate?
So to wear, I'm quite devoted to two brands. And the one is LNDR. They are a fairly small brand. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but I love their leggings and I love the cut of their vests. I'm quite particular about the cut of vest because I have quite defined shoulders. I like a vest that sort of flatters that, as opposed to if it's cut too close to the outer of the shoulder, then I don't think it's particularly flattering. So I think LNDR for leggings and vests. Nike Metcons for lifting weights.
I love them. They're my trainer go-to as well.
People make the mistake of going to the gym and lifting weights in running trainers, and you absolutely shouldn't do that because you can't ground your feet. You know, you see some people taking their trainers off in the gym to lift weights, and it's because they're trying to make sure that their weight is evenly distributed across their entire foot. But Metcon replicates that feeling. And in my Metcons, I put the heel lifts. So they come with heel lifts. I don't know if you noticed that, Sophie, when you bought them, that they come with... And I have my heel lifts in constantly because it allows you to squat deeper and get in a lower position when you're squatting. So they are my tips for trainers. For bras, I'm very devoted to Lululemon. And the same with leggings, to be honest. I know it's a little bit predictable and I know they are expensive as well. Lululemon's leggings are expensive and the bras are expensive to a lot of people, but they last. I have bras and leggings that I have used for years and washed and washed and washed. So they are my kit recommendations. And then if you were to buy kit to train at home with, and by that I mean weights to lift, my top tip is you can go anywhere. You don't have to buy expensive ones, but buy a range because you need to increase the weights as you're going along. But you can literally go to a top supermarket these days and buy weights. And then another piece of kit that I think is so multifunctional that you can do so much with and get a great workout is a kettlebell. And if you were to go on YouTube and just type in kettlebell workout, like Joe Wicks has them on there. I used to do his during lockdown.
Do you use any trackers or wearables?
So I have a Samsung Galaxy Ring, which is good for sleep and it gives you a health score. So it lets you know how rested you are and ready to do your next workout. I also have the Samsung Galaxy Watch, which I wear during my training. I'm not obsessed with tracking, to be honest. I know some people live or die by it. I find it useful information, but it's not something that I particularly obsess over.
So, of course, nutrition goes hand in hand with exercise. Can you talk us through an average day in terms of not only food, but also any nutritional supplements, shakes, functional mushrooms? And, oh, can you also please talk us through all the choice with protein powders? Because there are just so many.
Yeah, there are, aren't there? So supplements, It's a tricky one for me. Sophie knows my history here. So I, 2 years ago, I had kidney failure and it completely came out of the blue. There was no reason for it. They still don't really know a reason for it. But when I went through my supplement regime with the nephrologist, who's the kidney specialist, she was quite horrified because I was guilty of just taking whatever was sent into the office. Because as you can imagine, at Women's Health and Men's Health, we get sent quite a lot. And I, even with my knowledge and considerable knowledge, I still thought, well, it can't do me any harm. I'll just take that. I'll take this. I'll take that. So I stripped it right back, and was only taking omega oils and vitamin D. I've now introduced a supplement called IM8. It's actually David Beckham's new supplement, but it's a multivit in all intents and purpose, but it's got everything that you need. So on a daily basis, I take IM8, I take an extra vitamin D, although I might reduce that now. We're coming into the summer months and I'm actually going on holidays. And then I also, recently I had the flu, so I was doing daily electrolytes to try and rehydrate myself after it. In terms of protein powders, what I have most mornings for breakfast is a Huel shake, Black Edition. Now, I know there are some nutritionists would be listening to this and going, oh no, it's ultra processed and it's not real food, etc. I know, I do know all this, but for me, I'm so busy, I find it's really quick, simple and easy. It gets my protein in. I front load my protein at the start of the day. I genuinely enjoy the taste and the texture. I always add something to it. Like I sprinkle mixed seeds on the top or flax seeds or something just to give it that little something. So I feel like there's actual food going in and I really enjoy it. And I do notice on the days when I don't have that for breakfast, I'm more hungry. So it goes back to what many experts will tell you about having protein for breakfast, and it sets you up for the day with your hunger levels. So that's why I'm on protein shakes. There are so many out there, and my advice would be try to go for the most natural ones possible. There are many with lots of additives and preservatives, etc., but there are some with the fewer the ingredients, the better is a good rule of thumb. And in terms of my eating, I'm now trying to do intermittent fasting. So I put on quite a lot of weight and I was quite uncomfortable in myself as a result. So in about May this year, I decided to take stock and have a look at my daily intake and my nutrition. And I'm also listening to lots of podcasts about the benefits of fasting on cell regeneration and warding off diseases like Alzheimer's, which sadly my mother died of last year. So I now try to have 2 meals a day. So I'll try and have my Huel shake at about 10 o'clock. Sometimes I'll have some blueberries and walnuts with it as well, like a little pot with it. And then I'll have my lunch later on in the day. I'll try to like 3-4 o'clock. And that could be it normally. I don't eat red meat and I haven't eaten red meat in years. So it normally would be chicken or fish with some sort of carbs and salad or vegetables. If left to my own devices, I'm a snacker, I'm a grazer, and I distract myself with food, and I don't drink alcohol very often at all. So I will congratulate myself with food and commiserate with food. So left to my own devices, I would graze on chocolate and crisps and stuff. Well, not so much crisps, chocolate. I try not to, although I often, after my late lunch, will have a small bar of green and black dark chocolate or something, because I feel it takes the edge off and you get that sweet hit, but it's not as bad as going for a family size milk chocolate bar, which I could easily eat if, you know, left my own devices.
Thank you. That.
Just to pivot to skincare and, well, your personal approach to aging well on the outside, what's your morning and evening skincare routine? What brands do you love and are really loyal to? And what treatments or tweakments do you like to have?
So I suffer with rosacea, as you well know, Sophie, because we've discussed it at length. And I probably well, I'm not probably, I know I do the exact opposite of what you are supposed to do with rosacea, and I mix up all my brands of skincare. And this is because I'm a victim of, oh, I get to try things with work. And Sophie has told me off for doing it. I know I shouldn't be doing it, but it's a perk of the job, but also maybe a detriment of the job that I get access to try all different brands. The brands that have worked for me over the years, and there is one particular product, I should say, that I can't live without, and it's a Lumiere, and it's the Moisture Matte Mineral SPF. Am I pronouncing a Lumiere correctly? I don't know if either of you can.
Yep, you absolutely are.
Yeah. I love that product. I think it's, not only is it protective my skin, because I wear SPF religiously, even if it's chucking it down or snowing, I'll wear SPF. But I think it helps even out my rosacea as well. Like, the actual appearance of it helps even out my rosacea. I find it very frustrating that you can only buy it through clinics and you can't just walk into Boots or wherever to buy it, because I've actually run out at the moment and I'm struggling to get a hold of it because you have to buy it through a clinic, as I said. But that's my number one product pick. I absolutely love it. Another brand that I'm really impressed with is SkinCeuticals. I think it's quite expensive, and I think it can be a bit confusing because of all the different products that they have and the order in which you use them. But when I have used it, like their vitamin C, for instance, I've seen a big difference. My morning and evening routine is not complicated at all. I'll use a cleansing wash, and then I'll follow up with a micellar water with cotton buds just to make sure I've gotten everything off. And then I'll wear a vitamin C serum and a moisturiser. And in the evening, I'll do the same. But in the evening, I might use a hot cloth cleanser to really make sure I've got off all the debris of the day. And I don't wear much makeup unless I'm going out to a party or something. I don't wear much makeup on a day-to-day, so there's not that much to get off my skin, to be honest. But as I say, the one product I'm devoted to is the Moisture Matte, and I can wear that and not have to wear foundation. I really do think it's a really brilliant product to use.
Mm. And what's your view on treatments? Are you sort of like open to all of that or not?
Oh, I am, and I'm not embarrassed to say I've had many with Sophie. So I have Botox every 4 months. I book my next appointment in when I've just finished with that appointment, and I've been doing that for about 5-6 years, I want to say. In my 30s, I would do it very sporadically, and I'm talking maybe every 2 or 3 years or something. It wasn't constant at all, but in my 40s, I'm regimented with it. I've just started a treatment with Sophie, polynucleotides. We're hoping it can help with my rosacea. We're remaining to see. Sophie says that she's seen very good results with it. I think it's also known as the salmon sperm facial.
That's the one.
We'll see how I get on there. Another treatment I've had in the past that I've been very impressed with is microneedling. I had a treatment called Potenza, which I was really impressed with. And that's microneedling with radio frequency, because it's just encouraging your own collagen. And I've also, with Sophie, had Profilo over the years, although we haven't done that for some time. But I do, and that's another hyaluronic acid, I believe, that encourages your own collagen production. So I'm all for improving the quality of my own skin. I don't want to distort my features, but I want to look the best version of myself. And I am 47 now, and I'm more aware of my skin and doing the best I can for my skin. Mm.
And are you into any alternative or complementary therapies? And if so, can you recommend anything or anyone?
The short answer is I'm not. I'm just not that person. And the things that I've had in the past that I've really rated and felt a difference is acupuncture. Every time I've had acupuncture, I've felt amazing and energized afterwards, but it's not top of my list to go back and have again. I've got other priorities in my life, and I love a good massage, but I'm not someone who could sit through something like a sound bath. I just don't have that. I'm just not that person. And I call it woo-woo in work, and my team laugh at me. It's like, oh, it's woo-woo. You know, I'm very pragmatic and quite science-driven, and I find it hard to get on board with that. That said, acupuncture, if somebody could recommend to me a good acupuncturist in London, I probably would book him, because when I have had it previously at clinics that I've been to, I've been thoroughly impressed.
I think Ross J. Barr is the guy that everyone in London seems to be going to.
I think Ross specialises, I think, predominantly in fertility acupuncture nowadays. Sarah Braddon's amazing for facial acupuncture. There's some great people.
Yeah, I'll have to take those names from you and go and book in.
You've spoken really honestly about your own challenges with mental health. What really works for you and what doesn't?
So I have to be really quite meticulous about what I put in my body. Alcohol is terrible for my mental health and it's become increasingly so the older I've gotten. So it's to the point now where I can just about have one drink, and any more than that leaves me feeling anxiety ridden. I'm really quite depressed for days after. And I know this may well just be a symptom of the perimenopause as well, but for me, I'm paranoid about becoming depressed and so anxious about it. I don't need the added layer of alcohol to exasperate those emotions. And moving my body, getting outside. If I don't exercise for a few days, I can feel my mood starting to dip. If I eat too much sugar, I can feel my mood starting to dip. And I get into these cycles, as I'm sure many of us do, that if I get into a cycle of eating rubbish, and then you eat more rubbish to try and make yourself feel better for eating that rubbish, and then before I know it, I've got myself into a cyclical well that I struggle to get out of. And it happened recently, actually, and my husband had to give me a good talking to. I said, I feel terrible, and I'm so out of shape, and I put on loads of weight, and I feel, you know, and he said, you know what's going on here, just stop eating crap and get to the gym. And he gave me the sort of talking to only your mother or your husband can give you. But it worked, and within a day or two, I start to feel more positive. So I'm not on any medication for my mental health, and I haven't been for years, and I'm talking 15 years. The way I manage it is through exercise and nutrition.
Mm. And what about sleep? Because your job sounds so demanding, and I guess there will be a lot of stress within that. How do you manage stress? How do you manage sleep?
Sleep is sometimes elusive for me. Again, this could be the menopause coming into play as well. It takes me a long time to get off to sleep. And then it really annoys me when my husband is laying next to me snoring, having just put his head on the pillow. And then you get more and more wound up by this big oaf next to me. But I go to bed early. I can't stay up late these days. I'm in bed by 10 o'clock. It takes me a while to get off. But I'm not someone that can go out until the early hours now. And in fact, the thought of going out into the early hours to a party makes me feel anxious. And I just won't go. I've become, maybe it's boring or maybe it's setting firm boundaries, but I have to get a good night's sleep to be the best possible mother, editor, partner that I am the following day. I have two children. My son's about to turn 13. My daughter's 9. The alarm goes off at 6:30. Everyone needs to get up to get ready for school. And then I have a huge day in the office ahead of me. So I have to be really quite protective of the amount of sleep I get.
You must have met countless incredible women and men over the years. So first of all, congrats on the recent David Beckham cover, which I thought was amazing.
Thank you.
Who's inspired you the most? Are there any stories that have really stuck?
Do you know the woman who inspires me the most, whom I've met over the years at Women's Health, is Davina McCall. She is the most positive, joyful, lovely woman you could ever wish to meet. The Davina you see on TV is the Davina in real life. And I was inspired by her even before her recent challenges with a brain tumour, which I'm sure we're all aware of, because she was an example and an inspiration to so many, making fitness accessible to everyone and looking amazing for it. She's now in her late 50s and she's just strong and fit and beautiful. And I spoke to her again recently after her recent struggles, and she's just as happy and just as outrageous in some of her jokes. I mean, I just love that woman. I think she's a true inspiration. And when we have worked with her on Women's Health, which we've done several times over the years, it always resonates so deeply with our readers. People genuinely love her, and for good reason. And then on women's also, Joe Wiley last year. So we shot Joe Wiley for the October cover last year. That issue sold so well, because she, again, is just one of those women whom you just want to be friends with. She's so positive, so lovely. There doesn't seem to be a bitter bone in her body. A true example of a woman bossing it and still bossing it when, you know, we live in a world of ageism, and she's still on the radio and she's still hosting Glastonbury and she's still hero worshipped by all these young trendy bands. I mean, how incredible is that? And she came to our shoot with her husband, who's devoted to her. She's in incredible shape. She was an absolute joy, and I loved her. So they're the two women in recent years which I'm truly being bowled over by.
I love those answers, Claire. I'm going to second the Davina McCall fan club. I worked with her very briefly years ago, my first job in media. It was one of her first jobs over 25 years ago. Exactly as you say, the person that I met was the same person that you see on TV. So yeah, lovely woman. What is the best wellness tip you've been given? And more than one if you have it, because you must have received loads of tips over the years.
So my best friend is an officer in the army, and she said to me years ago, the hardest thing about doing a workout is putting your kit on, because once you've got your kit on, you'll probably do it. And I've always lived by this. I've thought, even when I really can't be bothered, I think, right, just put my leggings on. Once you've got your leggings on, it instantly transports you into a mindset of, right, I'm going to do it now. And it's a cliche, but you will never regret a workout. Once you get going, you probably are not going to give up, and you'll feel amazing in the end. Another one, it's very simple, maybe predictable, but I truly believe that it helps with weight management, your skin looking amazing, is drinking water. I don't think many of us drink enough water, but I have my Stanley next to me, one of those big massive cap things, and I'm constantly drinking water, and it just energizes you. It helps with weight management, it helps with your skin, and it's simple and it's free.
Love that. We'd also love to know how you feel about wellness spots. You obviously mentioned Viva Maya, which, I mean, I think that's a bit above and beyond a normal spa, but is there anywhere on your radar that you'd love to visit? And is there anywhere in the UK that you'd really recommend?
So the Newt has an amazing spa. I don't know
if
you're
the Newt.
Yeah. So that's a beautiful spa, which I would love to go back to. So I'm very lucky to have visited some amazing international spa hotel/clinics, and Viva Maya is incredible. I've been to Shaw Wellness in Alicante, and that was incredible. And I even went to a fasting clinic in Germany where I didn't eat for 10 days, and in the confines of a medical environment, that's not something someone should do. But so I've tried all these weird and wonderful things. But in the UK, the Newt is one that I really rate. Lynewood is also another spa that I really rate. I wish I could go to more. They're blissful spas, aren't they? If anyone has any good tips for me, then send them my way, because I love going to a spa.
You've mentioned my favourites already, but I also love, if you ever are up north, I know you did a fleeting trip recently, but the Gilpin is beautiful as well.
Oh, lovely, good tip.
A few quick fire questions, Claire. Can you recommend a podcast and also someone to follow on socials?
I'm going to have to say the Men's Health podcast. It's hosted by Andrew Tracy. We get some great guests on there. Even if you're a woman, you'll find it equally as interesting. But we're also, and this is hot off the press, relaunching the Women's Health podcast very soon. Mm-hmm. And we have a really cool celebrity host who will be co-hosting it with one of the editors. It's going to be amazing. So please tune into that. And then my own podcasting, when I'm going for my lunchtime walks, which I will be doing today, I love listening to the High Performance podcast with Jake Humphreys.
Love that. And finally, what's the best piece of advice you've received, and what would people perhaps never guess about you?
So I'm going to talk about my best piece of advice in terms of career progression, if that's okay, because it's a piece of advice someone gave me years ago, and it's the advice I always give to young women, young people, when they come up to me saying that they want to move ahead in their career, but it relates to any industry, and that's take the meetings. So grow your network, especially of amazing, empowering women who can support you and mentor you. And if you're invited to an event or maybe tapped up for a job, but you think that's, oh, I can't be bothered to go to that, or that job is not quite right for me now, I still take the meeting, because you never know how useful that person will be in the future, whether it's the following month or 6 months. And it stood me in good stead. So seek out supportive, strong women who you can help you move ahead in your career and always say yes if somebody wants to meet with you. And what people would never guess about me is that I'm nowhere near as confident as I come across. I actually love my own company. And if you were to meet me, you'd think I was the consummate people person and someone who could walk into a room and hold a conversation with everyone there. But a lot of the time I'm faking it. I actually find that quite uncomfortable. And I'm never happier than spending time on my own with a good book or a documentary on Netflix about serial killers.
Love the honesty. Brilliant.
So, Claire, people can find you on Instagram at Claire with an I, Sanderson.
Yes.
And do also follow at Women's Health UK and at Men's Health UK. And thank you so much, Claire, for the laughter, for the tips, for the conversation. It's been great to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that ends this week's podcast. If you want to find out more about me and my work, or maybe book a consultation, head to drsophieschotter.com and you can find me on socials at drsophieschotter. And again, thank you so much for listening.